Wonder, would somebody have something on their heart tonight you need to say or do for the Lord in any way? Have your Bibles, would read with us tonight. Look with me, if you will, in the book of Galatians, the third chapter. The book of Galatians, the third chapter. Start reading in the seventh verse. We'll read from seven down a little bit. But starting in the seventh verse, the Bible says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evidence, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it, or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect." You may be seated. That's 10 verses, and it's 10 very weighty verses, powerful verses, a great testimony of faith, if you will, and of the law. But as we look at this tonight, I would like to leave you with this thought, if we can, is that you can trust the fruit of faith. Think about that. You can trust the fruit of faith. Now, as God made promise to Abraham, and he preached to Abraham the gospel, he appealed, brought to Abraham's conscience the will of God for Abraham's life, to his heart. Now think about this. The law had not been yet written, but God spoke to Abraham, and Abraham heard God by faith. I believe the same way you and I hear God. I don't believe that Abraham heard an audible voice speaking to his natural ear, vibrating the bones in that ear and it turning into understandable audible words that he heard. I believe Abraham believed God by faith in his heart, just like we do. And Abraham was influenced by his inward man when God had impressed him to get you out from among your people. So Abraham left out of the era of the Chaldeans following God by faith, to an extent that he declared he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And you and I know that here in this world, we don't have any continuing city. But the just being, as we read here tonight, the just living by faith, and what is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we have, if you will, and he says this, that as he gets down here, and he says in the 15th, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added to. Now, he was giving you and I a type or a shadow, if you will, for us to look at what we've got by faith. Now, you take, if you had to have a piece of paper that you had been in a certain place and accomplished a certain thing, and you wanted it sealed, you might go to a notary. They might put their seal upon it, and they might confirm what's on that paper is truth. And many times in courts of law or in possession of titles, that seal, that signet upon that, my friend, and it's just the words of man, which in all manners of all them are going to die. And even that title of possession is going to cease to exist, but yet the decision on who it belongs to is sealed with an oath. It brings an end of all discussion. Well, friend, God has given you and I a fruit of faith, and that's by His Spirit. We read it to you. We'll go back there in just a second. But God Himself has sealed us with His Spirit, and that comes by faith. Children, we can trust what God sealed. But if God's not sealed it, you better leave it alone. But the thing about it is being able to recognize the seal of God. What's so surprising, what's so amazing in the days that we live, that my friend, whatever many times comes out of men's mouths is accepted whether or not it's got a seal on it or not. Please hear me. My friend, this seal of God will not disagree with the Scriptures. It'll say amen with the Scriptures. But most of all, His Spirit will seal it. And that is the blessing of all. There's so many times I fear that it is as if it's men's persons that persuade people. Friend, understand, in your life you must be settled by the leadership of God's Spirit. The Apostle Paul, when he was yet Saul of Tarsus, he knew the law very well. He lived by the law. But friend, he didn't have the seal down in his heart. But I can promise you this, after the road to Damascus and God smote him down blind, my friend, then when God had sent Ananias to him and Ananias proclaimed unto him the word of God, God gave him a seal. Listen to the Bible. He says in the 12th verse, he says, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live by them. Christ hath redeemed us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, Christ, of course, is Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one, our sacrifice, our propitiation. This is our Christ. This is Jesus, the Son of God. He has delivered us from the curse of the law. Listen on. He said, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I tell you, you can trust the fruit of the Spirit. You can trust it. When God says, this is mine, when God says, yes, that's the word, when God's Spirit says amen to your heart, friend, let me tell you something, you can take that for the word of God. But if God doesn't, and it doesn't line up with the word, if somebody gathers a little piece over here, or gathers a little piece over there, or even takes years of religious education and adds to it, and it might sound like that's got to be right, wait upon the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God comes by, I would beg you with all that be in me is, cling to that you know is God's. And that's not God's, I would beg you this, get away from it. Get away from it. Don't trust it. It'll creep into your life. It'll be subtle in its working. It'll be subtle in a way that it gets in there. And when it gets close, the closer it gets to you, the more stock you put in, the harder it will be for you to let go of it. Why? Because it looks like I got to have this. It looks like this must be. Abraham simply believed God to the point
He said, we're going. And they left. And they followed. They were literally believing that they're going to find a city whose builder and maker was God. I like that. I don't know about you, but I know by the witness of God's Spirit in my heart, He set up a kingdom in here. Yes. He did. I didn't do it. I couldn't keep myself. I couldn't cleanse myself, but I know that He cleansed me. No works of mine. I don't deserve the least of God's favor. I don't deserve the least of His interpretations. I don't deserve the least of His attention toward me. But I know that He has come by me and helped me. And blessed be the name of God. And I believe any heart, any life that recognizes that they have a treasure, they have a treasure in an earthen vessel, they're going to recognize where this treasure come from. It's not something you wrought out of your own. It's not something you purchased or bought with years of living. But it's what God graciously gave. And friend, let me tell you something. You can trust the fruit of genuine faith. Now let's stop just a minute and spend a little time with that thought. Now there's sometimes we want to move in our lives and say, well, I want to get closer to God. I know I ought to get closer to God. Hear me very closely and understand, I pray. Listen, an honest effort toward God, there's nothing wrong with it, but hear this, please. What is the motivation of my efforts? What am I really trying to accomplish? Is it a true, genuine relationship down in my heart that I want to know more of His power? I want to see richer into His Word. I want to see His kingdom furthered in my... What is the real motivation in my efforts toward the kingdom of God? Abraham was looking for a city. Have you ever desired to see the kingdom of God absolutely overrun somebody's heart? I mean, get so big in them that it consumes them. I want us to come looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I want to see God fill up David, Wayne, Lloyd, everybody all over the house. I want to see that kingdom of God get in you so big you can't contain it. Not that your name be recognized. Oh, but that the kingdom of our God might be seen for the reality of what it is. And the only way that that will ever be is that we have to be led by the Spirit. By faith. You can trust in that. Man can't put such a kingdom on the inside of his life. Oh, it'll be a little thing. But I tell you what, when that kingdom of God gets bigger than you, guess what it'll take control of? It'll begin to control the water that's in your body. It'll begin to control the voice that, my friend, you speak with. It'll begin to control the muscles that you stand with. It'll begin to possess every avenue of your entire existence. You can trust the fruit of faith. Friend, it'll say amen to what God has done. It won't promote my agenda. It won't promote your agenda. It won't promote a people's agenda. But I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll magnify Jesus Christ. For the sin debt of our lives that God paid at Calvary. Amen. Oh, God, help my heart to see it like I should see it. Listen, let's go slow and let's not miss any of this. He said, and the scripture, I love this, the scripture, which is the word, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Now, God knowing, before it was written down, and you can find types and shadows, all through the Old Testament of what I'm about to tell you. You can see where Rahab the harlot. You can see where that Ruth the Moabitess. You can see, my friend, the Phariseean woman. You can see all the times and shadows of God ushering in the Gentile world. Abraham, hear me. Abraham was a Gentile. Oh no, he is a Hebrew. God made him a Hebrew. Before, when God called him, he called him out of there, the Chaldeans. My friend, a people that worshiped dumb idols. A people that was taken in all types of idolatry. And God called him out of that. Can you and I not identify with that? Were we not Gentiles when God called us out of darkness? Amen, I know I was. Superstitious? My goodness gracious. I don't know why that come by, but hang on real quick. It ain't going to hurt you. Superstition don't belong in our lives. I wouldn't dare walk under a ladder, preacher. Superstition don't belong in your life. My God is my God, whether I'm crawling underneath a ladder. If there's a herd of black cats crossing the road in front of me, my God will still be my God.
That's right.
I do not have to fear. Superstitions drive people from one side of their lives to the other. But I've heard that all my life. I don't care what you've heard all your life. You can trust the fruit of faith in Christ. Listen on. And the scripture, the word, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. That's you and I. Listen to what happened. Preach before the gospel. I love that. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, friend, I promise you that when you and I got saved, we didn't come to God to make a deal. We didn't. But let's touch on something that I believe was probably a little common about our thoughts, about our imagination right after we got saved. I want my whole family to have this. I want everybody I know to have this. I want everybody I come in contact with to have what Jesus gave me. Look what happened to Abraham. You talk about a common salvation. In thee shall all nations be blessed. I believe he had a hankering, my friend, to see the blessings of God fall upon his people. So then they which be of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now let me ask you something. Did God bless Abraham? Can anybody here tonight say that God did not bless Abraham? Did Abraham stumble? Did Abraham fail? Yes, he did. Abraham lied. Abraham was a liar at one time in his life. Did God write him off? God blessed him. God gave him a son. My friend, that son had two more sons. And one of them sons had 12 sons. Who God blessed throughout their days. Though they may have dwelt 400 years in captivity, he sent a man down there without an army. My friend, with just the word of God and staff, I delivered over 1 million out of captivity. God blessed Abraham. Children, God is able to bless us. I'm not looking for the substance of the flesh to be blessed. No, I want to see those things come to the riches of your lives that money can't buy.
Yes.
I want to see God pass by your heart and fill you up and pour you out. I'd love to see God save them of your kindred and your acquaintance in which we went into covenant with when we joined up, that we would seek the salvation thereof. I'd love to see God wrought that in their lives for the glory of his kingdom, not for our name, not for your name. But that the God of heaven could be praised. Why? Because of faith. My, what a gift. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Are we of the faith tonight? Did it always look like Abraham was going to be blessed? My goodness, they got out there and got so much. Lot went one way and he went the other. And the next thing you know, Lot got down there and got in trouble. His own nephew, by what I understand, lost everything that he had. Even, if you will, the soulmate of his life. His two daughters got him drunk and had children by him. What a horrible way to end up. But what happened? He got to looking toward the fair plains of Sodom. He got intrigued by what his eye was seeing. Instead of faith. He let what he seen with his eye and heard with his ear affect his relationship with God. That's why I was asking you at the start of this service to pray for me, that I'd have the proper discernment. Because sometimes, my friend, I promise you, what we see with our eye and hear with our natural ear and the carnal man, it'll begin to affect us if we're not careful. We must wait upon God. Because I tell you right now, if the devil's ever been a roaring lion, children, we're living in a day when the devil is a roaring lion. Every way you turn, my friend, he's got a microphone. Every way you turn, he's shouting. And my friend, he's driving fear in the hearts of people's lives. Driving intimidation into where, that my friend, there's no testimony of the power of God. There's no, I thought of today, God, I thank you. I bless your holy name. You wrote in my heart one day, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Children, understand something. Our testimony by the power of God living in us is more valuable than anything this world could ever give us. It's worth contending for. I like to think it's like Nabal. It ain't for sale. It's not on the auction block today. By his amazing grace, it won't be tomorrow, nor next week, or next year, or right on. But listen to what the faith of Abraham testified to us for. Now listen, now this is close. This is a separation between the law, which was our schoolmaster, which educated us of the sin that was in our lives. And thank God for the law, because the law was holy, just, and good. The Bible says it is. And I'm not demeaning it, and I'm not throwing it away. But I know this. My Savior fulfilled the law that I might be justified. That's what Jesus accomplished. No small task. No little victory. My friend, that song rolls over in me and I love it dearly with all my heart. Victory was won at Calvary. My Lord in heaven, I know it was ordained to preach it under the counsel of God before the foundation of the world was. I know it was in the heart of God to do this. But I also know, my friend, there came a culmination of it. There came a day, my friend, when the Son of God had to put on the flesh of man. Had to live 33 and a half years. Fulfill the law to the jot and tittle. Hung on Calvary with a perfect sacrifice. That I might know him in the free pardon of sin. Amen. Thank you. And my friend, that was no small victory. Oh, what a victory. What my Savior said when he hung his head, when he said, "It is finished." Oh, thank God for the victory that was won at Calvary. Listen on. He says, "For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Friend, if you're trying to be justified by the law, you're going to find yourself cursed. There's no possible way you can keep it. You might be, even as the Apostle Paul was when he was Saul of Tarsus, absolutely blameless in anybody's eyes that would look upon you. But I can promise you this, your conscience and your heart will condemn you in the presence of God. Why, preacher? Because of your thoughts. Because of the iniquity that lives in the heart. That the heart of man is desperately wicked. Well, preacher, I have the heart of man is desperately wicked. Oh, listen, God, I make you a new creature in Christ. And my friend sets up his kingdom in the hearts of men. Oh, my goodness. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. For it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what the preacher said? Faith that I come to church every Sunday? Faith that I come every Sunday night? Faith that I come every Wednesday night? No. My friend, I confess this to you, that that is a duty. Not an act of faith, but a duty. The just living by faith. So what's moving? Now, to be alive, that means growth, does it not? Even an oak tree that's 100 years old, it's going to have some acorns on it if it's a fruitful tree. If there's anything small coming up around it, there's still some evidence of growth in its life. Every spring of the year you can find it. Though it may have lost some because of its years and its age and the cold winters and the high winds and the bad storms that may have broken limbs, my friend, there stands the tree. And you can still see some new growth in it, trying to live and trying to survive. So my friend, to be alive, to live, something's got to have some growth. And growth, my friend, brings on change. Change brings on, my friend, the evidence of life. The just shall live by faith. So what's moving my life? What's causing me to grow? It ought to be our faith in God. Amen. Oh me. That ought to be the nourishments that my soul is eating, that my soul is drinking. That ought to be where my soul is resting. There maneth therefore rest under the people of God. My friend, and listen to this, hear me. This faith is not something that's dripping out of a spigot. This faith is not something that comes up, my friend, like a mushroom in the woods after the rain in spring of the year. I tell you, my friend, there's a fountain of faith that was grilled and established and settled at Calvary. It's an overflowing river, right? There's an abundance out there. We can have all of it we want. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. He can. He does. He will. You not remember what he said over there in Jeremiah? I know my thoughts unto you are good. These people were coming out of captivity. What did he say on down there? To bring you to a determined end. To an expected end is what the Bible says. To bring you to an expected end. My mind's surging right. That's the only place in the Bible that word's used. To an expected end. Listen to me very closely. I've got an expected end. It might be on the way home tonight. But I can promise you my God knows when I'm leaving this world. And may I glorify him by faith. May I live for him by faith. May I examine myself to make sure that I'm in the faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And oh, I tell you, I don't know about you, but I can confess this for Mike Freeman. Routine creeps into this life. Complacency creeps into this life. What I hear with my natural ear and see with my natural eye, if I'm not careful, it's affecting my heart a whole lot more than I should let it. God, help my heart. To get the old, remember they used to mention this a lot in revival meetings when they didn't have power and ever house and they try to read by an old oil lamp, and sometimes that oil was not very good oil and it would smoke up the globe, and sometimes you'd have to get it down and clean the globe to see exactly what you were looking at. God, help my heart. God, move over my soul that I can trust the fruit of faith. God will honor that. God, help our hearts to see the necessity. Oh, my friend, of this great seal and signet of his Spirit. He says in the 12th, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Do you see how the law was a curse to us because it brought us into condemnation? You see how it was Christ that delivered us from that? Friend, I tell you, there's a tremendous amount of rejoicing to know that we're not condemned no longer by the law. I don't know about you, but I remember that condemnation. It was like a weight pressing down upon my heart. It troubled my mind and my conscience. I knew I was guilty. And it took God to convince me. My friend, and then it took God to tell me and let me know my sin debt was paid. It didn't matter what the preacher said. Didn't matter what my best friend said that's bowed beside me. But I tell you what settled it with me is when the Spirit of Christ entered into my heart and took up its abode. Thank God for the witness of somebody living in me other than myself. Let us read. He says, in the 13th, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That ought to express gratitude in our hearts immediately, that God would send his son, my friend, and slay his own child, that I could go free. And not just barely, but completely free. Here again, I'm going to touch on this. I hope you receive this. I hope you see this in the scriptures for yourself and not another. But my friend, when I got saved, he forgave me of all my sin. Did he forgive you of all your sin? Now let's go farther. Past, present, and future. Now, preacher, I don't know about future. You living under the law? He delivered us from that. If we believe, now listen to reason, if we believe that Jesus died for our sins before we were ever born, and we had not committed any of those sins, and we believe that he died for our sins up to that time, and he didn't die for all of them, you got any scripture for that? Because I can promise you this, you can't pay for one sin. No possible way. I'm not telling you that salvation is a license to go and live like a dog. I'll tell you what, my friend, I believe this. I believe that if you're truly born again, you'll find out that you sin a whole lot more than you ever wanted to. You'll understand, my friend, what Paul wrote in that 7th chapter of the book of Romans. Oh, wretched man that I am. He testifies the good that I would do, I do not, and that which I allow not, that do I. How to perform that good which is in me, I know not. I find it all written in me, that when I would do good, evil's present with me. He goes on down, my friend, and thank God for the next few verses of that next chapter. I thank God through Christ Jesus, my Lord. We're delivered from ourselves. We should not live longer under sin, but under grace. Let us run. He says in the 14th that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through the law. No, that's not what the book says. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Wow. You talk about a seal. It's better than a notarized title on an entire piece of property and all the possessions thereof. That God, not man, not religion, not the church, but God will put a seal on a life and say, that is mine. That ought to cause our hearts to rejoice. That I'm no longer my own, I've been bought with a price. Yes, I was sold under sin, but just like Hosea went and bought his wife back off the auction block, Jesus Christ came and paid my sin debt. Amen. Oh, my goodness. The less is blessed of the greater. Let us run. We'll do our best to hurry. He says, and this is the example. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, though it be just an agreement between men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereto. I tell you this, my friend, when Christ says amen to a man's life, we better say amen. If God doesn't say amen to a man's life, you better not touch it. Because I can promise you this, my friend, when he can confirm it by his Spirit, that's the end of it. That's the end of all debate. And friend, let me tell you something. This is the fruit of genuine faith in Christ. He'll give you his Spirit. It's a comforter. Some believe that, well, I got saved and then I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then, listen to me very closely. This is what I am convinced of in my soul. When I got saved, I got it lock, stock, and barrel. I got it all. Well, no, preacher, this is... No. If there's something got to be added to it, then you're expecting your flesh to accomplish it. If something has to be graduated to, then you're expecting your abilities to get you there. It'll never happen. Never happen. This is a part of the unspeakable gift. I love it. And it's given by God. At the day of atonement, at the moment of salvation, my friend, we are translated from this kingdom into an eternal kingdom. From this world to another world. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Even as Job testified and said, though the skin worms devour this flesh, yet shall I see God for myself and not another. Friend, let me tell you something. When God settles it in your heart, and the Spirit of His Son Christ, the great comforter, says amen, that's a seal. And that brings an end of all debate. What are you saying, preacher? Let me touch on this and I'll hurry right along. If you're wrestling with your salvation, if you're wrestling whether or not you've ever been born again, where's the seal? Where is that testimony of Christ? It's by faith, friend. It is by faith. And once it's there and you see it, get a hold of it. Lay hold of it. As Paul told Timothy, my friend, as he told him and exhorted him there in another place, oh, Timothy, keep that that's committed under thy trust. He told him to earnestly contend for the faith. He told him not to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. He encouraged him for the work's sake and for the witness that had been witnessed in him. Friend, know this. You can trust the fruit of true faith. You can know that that's Jesus and it's not man. You can know that that's God and not religion. You can know that that is God and not emotions. You can know that this is an operation of God through the Spirit for the glorified of His Son's name in this world. Know these things. And when you see it, get a hold of it and magnify God. It ain't about me. It's not about you. I've seen this, and sadly, it's the truth. I've seen men pastor churches for years and years and years and years. And when that man leaves, half that church dies with him. Do you know why? Because that man was their God. You've seen it happen. You've heard of it. Listen to me. What about you? What about me? Friend, may we recognize the fruit of this faith and may it be the very crown of our lives in this world. That it's God that's saying, behold, thou art mine. As he said in Jeremiah, and it keeps coming back to me. When we looked at it, we thought we might be there tonight. But without a doubt, he led us here. But he said, I know my thoughts toward thee. They're good. Friend, look where you're sitting. By the amazing grace of God, we get to come into the house of God, hold the word of God, sing the songs of God, hear the gospel of God. His thoughts to us are good. Drag around like we're defeated, barely going to make it. Let me tell you something. We're winners. Amen. We're not losers. He made us more than a conqueror. We don't have to go around conquered. Son, let me tell you something. Faith is a gorgeous thing. What are you talking about, preacher? Kind of like this. When that bride starts down that aisle, what do people notice? Oh, how beautiful she is. And her hair is fixed. The flowers are falling. The white dress is on. The makeup's just right. The hair's just right. But in all of those cosmetics, there's a person there. And that's who that man's waiting on, is that person. Listen to me, please. There's no shadow of a doubt in our mind and eyes of all the congregation. Who the bride is. Amen. They're aware of who's getting married. Dear friend, you can trust and know the fruit of faith. God will say amen to that. When you see it, recognize it. If it's not there, covet it to be greater and go after it. Be provoked by it. Oh, that the Lord would let us see Him high and lifted up, that it would move us to the place of praise. Not trying to be funny, but even at household showers, wedding showers, when the bride comes and every head turns and looks and they hear the music and they know what's going on, and it's just, oh, you can hear it. They recognize who they're looking at. Baby gifts are open. Bridal gifts are open. And everybody goes, oh, they recognize what's been given. Friend, understand something. God's thoughts toward us are good. Now, if they sin in the camp and judgment awaits, then there's fear. But He told us in His word, if our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our heart. He's made a way for us. What's so sad is when the way is offered and nobody takes it. That's the tragedy. That's the horrific, sad part. They could have had life. They could have been the bride.
and just sit by and let it pass.
Let us run. He says in the 16th, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now what's he saying? Our faith is not to be in religion. Our faith should be originating from a finished work at Calvary. As much as the just shall live by faith, and the statement being eternally true with God, and I believe this as much as anybody, my friend, ever could, I firmly am convinced that David was justified by faith looking toward the cross. How do you know, preacher? He cried, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You ever lost your joy? You ever had that preached to you? You ever had that preached to you? Wait a minute. Some of us have. Look like some of us may not have. Has anybody ever preached to you about losing the joy of your salvation? Has this not ever happened to somebody? Gosh, I need to stop right here just a minute. Seriously. All over the house. Well, preacher, I can't lose my joy. Whoa. Oh, yes, you can.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I can assure you of this. It's been preached to me, not by man, but by God. Yeah. Where's your joy at, son? Why? Because we mope around like we got some end sentence of our entire being. But let me tell you something. God is going to bring His church to an expected end. This world is rocking and reeling. There's earthquakes. There's disease. There's famine. This thing's about to come to an end. Can you not see it coming? Men's hearts failing them with fear with the things that's coming upon them. It's here. And some joys are just gone. Lord, help us not to lose the joy of our salvation. David cried, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I believe it has a great tangible fruit that can go with that. In the book of Romans, it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. I don't know about you, but God has convicted me at times that I did not trust Him like I should have. I did not obey Him like I should have. He's convicted me over that. And what happened when that conviction was there? The joy was gone. So if you've never lost the joy of your salvation, now may I confess this to you? You've probably never been saved. Amen. Mike, that's just too hard. No, listen. I'll tell you what's going to be too hard. Is that after we've sat years and years and years under the gospel, and this thing's called to an end, and we're before the very judgment of God, and you're looking over there at all these people you went to church with, and they're going into the kingdom of God, and over here are those of the uncircumcised of heart, and these books are being opened and they're being judged. Preacher, you'll be aware. Oh, no, I won't. No. My friend, the judgment of my life, the judgment of the saints past, thanks be unto God, I was just a sinner. But He said death and hell will give up the grave, the dead that are in them, and they're going to stand before the judgment throne of God. And those will be open, and then the book of life is going to be open. And if their name's not found in it, they're being cast in the lake of fire. That's where He said He would part. The goats on His left and His sheep on His right. Friend, let me tell you something. If you've never lost the joy of your salvation, I would wonder. I would be scared to death at whether or not I had the real salvation of Jesus. Sadly, much of our world's in that condition.
But let us hurry right along. Listen to the Bible. This is not Mike Freeman's words, but this is the Bible. He says, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said, not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ is in the lineage of Abraham. He
made the culmination, if you will, the plan of God, divinely inspired, ordained from the foundation of the world. And God delivered, my friend, them that would believe through faith in Christ. There's no other way. Listen on. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, listen to this verse, the law which was 430 years cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Wow, what a verse. What a statement from the Word of God about God and His Son and His promise. That's God testifying, my friend, that even the law that He gave to Moses and his children, my friend, does not disannul what He promised Abraham. And what was that promise to Abraham? That he would be the father of many nations. What is nations? Well, it's not the United States, and it's not Great Britain, and it's not Russia, and it's not China, and it's not that little place over there called Israel and Brazil and Ethiopia. It's not that. Many nations. The Justice Nation. The Slaughter Nation. The Marble Nation. The Freeman Nation. Preacher, that's just too much. No, I assure you, it's the Word of God. Many nations. So if God promised that He would save Abraham and his children and many nations, and what did God tell us in His Word? That if we served Him, He'd save us and our household. Well, it just don't look like my family's going to be saved. Contend for the faith. Believe God and press on. Do you know, I fear too many times, we're looking in that little bitty mirror of our car and we're trying to move forward. What's the most important? Is the windshield more important than the rearview mirror? Because you're going forward. Many times I fear we're looking in that rearview mirror. I promise you, you can start with my friend. And there's not enough paper and pen in this house tonight to write down all of our regrets. There's not enough. Preacher, I don't have any. Might I say this? You're wrong. Because I assure you we've all got them. But I'm not going to talk defeat. I'm going to quit looking in the rearview mirror and I'm pressing on. Why? Because I ain't got many days. They're short. And I want to see Him as high and lifted up as I could get Him. These promises, Peter writes, they are exceeding great and precious promises. Children, let me tell you something. May we be persuaded that God is able to keep those things that I have committed unto Him against that day. How long has it been since you committed Him something? I'm hesitant sometimes to say things like this because I don't want I in this. Because it ain't about me. But I'll tell you what He let me do. He let me commit this house to Him. Let me tell you something. I'm not talking about these four walls, ceiling and floor. I'm talking about the collective house of God. Matt, I confess something to you. He's going to keep it. You know why He's going to keep it? It belongs to Him.
That's right.
It don't belong to me. It don't belong to you. Right. It belongs to Him. Amen. And He'll keep it. Yeah. You know why? He slew His Son for it.
Amen.
It didn't cost Him nothing. It cost Him everything. And then when He would send us a message that we might earnestly contend for the faith and that we can trust the fruit of it, God help Mike Freeman to hear it and do it. Do it. Have a vision for the house of God. Have a vision of seeing God multiplied in the hearts of those He loves that sit right here. that gets so full they can't keep their seats, to give him some glory for what he's done. God help my heart. God help my life. That's my heart. I hope it'll help you in some way.